these requests have been made before thee. Thou dost ask us to ask that thy help and to intercede for fellow believers. We've done that, and we ask thee, Lord, that the ones that we pray for may be, the request will be taken care of by thee. And if it's no, it's just continued, give them grace to withstand whatever they need to withstand. Thank you for Jim Canada's call tonight. He said he had a slight stroke sometime in the past, and he asked us to remember him and all the different side effects that may be with him now. All these other requests, Lord, we thank thee that we can take them to thee. Thou art interested in them. Thou art the all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent God who knows how to handle things of our small, little nature that affect us, and we all have such travails and difficulties. So that and direct us, help us now to open up thy word, this book of 1 Corinthians. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this evening. We're going to continue. And we're starting with verse 28, 29, and 30. We're asking those who are listening to us by the internet, give us a call or comment. Call us at 856-261-9018. Well, questions at bftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello or ask a question or make a comment. All right, let's read together 1 Corinthians 11, 28, 29, and 30. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Right, verse 28. That first word is what we call an adversative conjunction. But what does that go back to? It's a cautionary word, isn't it? What does that go back to in the preceding verse? Any hands on that?
I don't know where we are.
1 Corinthians 11:28. What does that go back to in the preceding verse? Yes.
Observing the Lord's Supper.
All right. And what particularly verse number 27? Causes, yes, Ken?
Eating unworthily.
All right.
Eating and drinking in the cup of the Lord unworthily.
What do you think unworthily might include? I know that's last week, but what do you think that might include? Unworthily.
No unconfessed sin.
No unconfessed sin, Vaughn?
Well, sin, we're supposed to come before the Lord's table. We're supposed to go over our, get ourselves right.
Right, right. What about the unsaved people? If they eat, is that an unworthy test?
Yes.
Does God want unsaved people to take the Lord's Supper?
No.
No, he did not. No, he did not. So, the danger in verse 27, unworthily. And so to compensate for that, the word but, what should it be there? Well, Pastor Nance has
some.
Go ahead.
I've had somebody that's joined us from York.
Good.
They just joined us, tuned in, and are now watching, viewing us.
Very good.
To the bus study.
Let's wave to the Yorkie lady, our granddaughter,
hi,
Anna.
Mrs. York.
Yes, Mrs. York, or Mrs. York.
Yeah,
Mrs. York. Okay. So thank you, Anna. Be sure to call in. Tell us. Glad to see you last Sunday. That was a surprise to all of us. Glad for your participation.
Almost all of us.
Almost, yes. But what is the answer then? So that they don't partake unworthily.
What?
Yeah. What is the answer? The Lord said, well, they don't partake. And verse 28. But on the contrary, what they're supposed to be sure of, they doing?
Examine themselves.
Any hands on that? The ten?
To examine ourselves.
Examine. What is involved in examination of ourselves? What do you think is involved? Any hands on that?
Well, when you have a regular exam in school, there are certain questions and certain things about the discipline you're looking at.
So okay.
Giving yourself a self-exam is saying, you go over certain key factors in your own life and see if they line up with Scripture.
What about a doctor's exam? What takes place there? Any hands on that, Lieutenant?
Check your health.
Check your health.
So we're checking our spiritual health, but I mean, we're not really capable of really seeing ourselves. I think of that verse, search me, O God, know my thoughts, try me, know my, see if there be any
wicked.
I
that's right. Read it again. Leave me in the way to rest.
Yeah.
That's right. So examine. What do you think the person looking to participate in the Lord's Supper should be examining himself or herself? What type of things should they be examining? Hands on that?
He's looking for known unconfessed sin.
Yes, that's good. Known unconfessed sin. But, and then what happens after the examination and the sin question has been cleansed, then what happens?
Eat.
Let him eat that bread, drink of that cup. After a self-examination. So the Christians, that's right. And then in verse number 29, he talks about what kind of an eating, what type of a manner is referred to here. Any hands on that? What type of a manner? Yes, Tammy.
So unworthily, going back to verse 27.
Yes, going back to 27. It's an unworthy, two different places, 27 and 29. If you eat unworthily, what is true? The Lord's Supper here. Yes, Tammy.
You're eating damnation or condemnation.
Condemnation. And how would we define judgment or condemnation or damnation? How would you define it?
Discipline.
Discipline, right? What's another word for condemnation? Discipline?
Judgment,
right? So, God may make you judge these people if they don't eat with the proper thing and drinks damnation in terms of judgment. Why? Why is it true that they get the condemnation and damnation in verse 29, the last part? Why does God condemn or judge them if they're unworthy and they're eating the tank?
I guess, and when they're actually partaking in the elements, they're not discerning the Lord's body. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking on what He did for them.
Mm-hmm. But what does discerning mean? Any ideas on that? Any hands on that? A discerning person. Is everybody discerning? Are they different grades of discerning? Bill.
There are a lot of people who are not discerning at all. Mm-hmm. That is to identify properly, and that comes through honesty.
Mm-hmm.
When you're self-examining, we had a fellow that came to church here for quite a few years, and we know he wasn't really saved,
mm-hmm.
But he kept saying he was, and he took communion every month when we had it,
mm-hmm.
And he kept saying that he was saved, but he was not discerning there mm-hmm. at all, because he wasn't discerning between the ways of the world and mm-hmm. what he should have been studying in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He was reading the verses and reading the words in the Bible along with the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't thinking about what they really need.
Mm-hmm. That's
well, I mean, in cases like that, I think a lot of times people become self-deceived
mm-hmm.
into thinking that they're in one condition rather than another.
Mm-hmm. What was the one thing that we knew he could not be possibly saved? What one disgust we had, if any, remember that?
Well, he said that Jesus
Christ was just a man. Just a man. If Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, was just a man, what couldn't be true?
He couldn't be sinless, and he wouldn't be our Savior.
Couldn't be sinless, couldn't be saved, couldn't die for our sins, had the sins of himself. Yeah, Bill.
And, also, importantly, is he was God
mm-hmm.
as well.
That's right.
The first chapter of the Gospel of John is so clear,
mm-hmm.
So important there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubting that anybody who is not sure who Jesus is, they need to read that. Just that one chapter is enough.
In the beginning was the Word,
and the Word
was with
God,
and the Word was God. And in verse... Is it 14? It tells what the word, who the word is.
The
word became flesh. We dwell among us. So tells us more of the glory of the only God, the Father, full of grace and truth. So the further thing, another factor, let's say a particular person, without mentioning any name, but we talked about doing the will of God. Remember, we asked the question, what if the government says not to do what the word of God tells us? What should we do? What was the answer to that question? Yes,
what was whose answer?
What was the gentleman that we're talking about? What was his answer when we asked the question?
Well, we have to obey the government law.
Obey the government law.
But the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man.
God rather than man, see? So there's a number of things, but discernment is very important. And I say, but are all Christians equally equipped to discern?
No.
What gives us the ability to discern? Scripture discern. What gives us that?
Well, we have to know the Bible.
Have to know the Bible? And that's what gives us discernment. Yes.
The Holy Spirit, because His presence, works on your conscience.
All right. The 10?
the more we obey what he has told us and shown us from his word, the more he will show us from his word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we say learn to discern?
Yes, that's a good rhyming thing. Learn to discern. That's very important. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. So now, discerning the Lord's body. What do you think that means? Not discerning the Lord's body. What is there about discernment of the Lord's body? What do you think that means? Any thoughts on that? Any hands on that?
Not realize the significance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, the resurrection, dying for the sins of the world on the cross, discerning his body. What that body did for us is on this earth. Here's a comment or question. Let's listen to it. Yes, Rob in Chicago. We had Rob.
And they're doing that.
waved to Anna Wake over there, York, Pennsylvania, preaching, yes, the Roman Catholic Church, not deserving the Lord's body, pretending to crucify him day after day and Monday many times.
I think the problem with the phone is because it's flip phone, and the quality isn't so good.
Oh, she has a special flip phone, huh?
Well, she has a flip phone that's kind of like yours.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so the quality isn't as good.
Maybe she had it on speakerphone, I'm not sure.
No, it's never very clear.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It wasn't too clear. Uh-huh. Oh, but thank you very much, I appreciate that. Devon.
That's what I wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. He used to think this meant something else. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, until today, I'm not sure what you're teaching, really. I can't. Not discerning the Lord's body. I thought that always meant his actual body that was died on the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, in salvation. It must mean the church.
No, I think his body would refer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Does the Lord's body mean the church?
It would be the Lord Jesus' body, not the church. No. Well, see, because talking about the body and blood of his Christ in the communion service is Christ's body. See?
Right, but I never thought it meant the church till today, till this new teaching.
No, we don't believe it's for the church. We never said that. Never taught
that. That just came to me. That
not discerning the Lord's body, the Lord Jesus Christ's body. Did Tammy have something?
Oh, she just says it's a sliding keyboard.
A sliding keyboard.
She's got a text. It kind of splits apart, She has like a keyboard so she can text people.
Oh, I see.
So, but it's still a last generation, so the quality isn't as clear.
Okay, well, thank you for that explanation. So, as you said, the Mass, every single time that the Catholics have this Mass, they don't discern it's transubstantiation, the body becomes the Word of God. It turns into Christ's body. Yes, Tam.
By their quote unquote taking it literally and thinking that they're discerning the Lord's body,
yes,
being transubstantiated,
yes,
they're missing his sacrificial offering.
And when do we say that? Is mean? What figure of speech do we decide that way? This is the Lord's body. This is the Lord's body.
It's a metaphor. Mm-hmm.
So, a metaphor. Two great, similar metaphor. Who's right?
I don't know. You want to call it a simile?
Do I? Simile is like or as, but metaphor represents
what? Well, what do you think it is?
Oh, metaphor.
I said metaphor, and then you went like, who's
no,
right?
No,
I said
you said this, and she said that. I said, who's right? And just asking. Don't go back off of what you said. It's a metaphor. It's a represents his body. It doesn't become his body. It could be like, it could be as, it's a rough.
I think it could still mean the local church.
Where do you get that?
Well, I never thought that so vague. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. People in the local church, because they're all mixed up when it comes to the body.
Well, what does it say in verse 27? If he thinks unworthily, it should be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Yeah, this is what's pointed here. Nothing to do with the body of Christ. Nothing.
Well,
the church.
It means that the Lord. I never thought I'd just tell a day. I don't know how you were teaching me that way.
It's the elements in the communion service. That's for them.
Going back to verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you."
Yes.
This is your members. That's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
You have to write the scriptures. The metaphor.
It represents.
I can't be
around
in
everything. Body represents the body.
It's a metaphor.
But you see that word body, it's the Lord's body. See, nothing to do with the church, which is the body of Christ.
Well, I thought that was very interesting.
It's interesting, but it's wrong. Totally wrong in this context. Absolutely, totally heresy.
Well,
nothing to do with the church.
No,
I'm not teaching. Never taught that in my life.
I don't
teach
it
today.
Came into me that way.
Well, it came into you wrong because I never taught it. All right, now that's 28, 29. And then in verse 30, what's the cause of unworthily partaking of the Lord's table at the time of the Corinthian church situation in this verse right here? What happened because of unworthily? Pardon me?
Which verse?
This verse number 30.
What's the question?
What happened because they were unworthily participating? Yeah, Pastor Dan.
They were weak.
That's one thing.
Must seem to
be. Yeah,
Sickly.
Was
they were probably weak spiritually.
All right. What's another thing?
Sickly.
Sick. They died.
They're sleeping.
They're dead. So those three judgments, if they do an ongoing thing now.
Just because they do the wrong thing at Communion Sunday, then I think we take it just so lightly.
Mm-hmm. Well, God really does this Church of Christ.
We should remind the people a week before that Communion is coming. Because
well,
I wouldn't know half the time if Tammy fixes a thing.
Well, they know usually every first Sunday. We try it in our church for years, 20 years going on.
But everyone probably knows it's hot to examine
it. That's true.
And they don't know what it means.
That's because even though we read it every Sunday morning.
They read it, but we don't study it.
Don't study it. That's when they got to look at it. And so God judged the people in Corinth who were not doing proper things in the Lord's Supper. Maybe he still judges people in the same degree, but my, that's a serious degree. Weak. And what's the second thing?
Sickly.
And diseased, and then some die. So God judged these people right then. Yes, huh?
That's what I was going to say. Part of the judgment is dying.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I see what someone has
so
said.
Maybe we should be taught it more often. I always
wonder. Yes, Anna, go right ahead. They should eat in their own house, in their own home. That's very good. That's true. So, sickly, weak, and many sick. The discernment feature caused many to die and be sick and be very weak. Let's read verses 31, 32. Yes, pass that.
So, from those verses that Anna read, it was the manner in which, as opposed to the lack of examination, it was all tied together, but it was very, someone could not examine themselves and yet not be behaving that way.
Mm-hmm. They were eating there in the church instead of eating at home. Did you have a home to eat in? Why are you bringing
this? They were just devouring. Mm-hmm. And other people were getting drunk. And
yes. Very serious indeed.
So,
yes, ma'am?
Evidently, they had like their church suppers.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were sitting there, Jesus just took the elements that were out on the table and he made the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
And then people later on, they couldn't wait till he had the Lord's Supper because they could take out.
Yes, Barbara. So, Master, go ahead. Very good. Let's wave to Barbara Master. Appreciate that.
What'd
you say? Say hi. Say hello.
Hi, we miss you, Barbara.
Yes. So, did you finish on it? I interrupted.
Well, I'm all right.
Okay. So,
she was saying it was a meal.
With a meal, that's right. So, let's read verse
7. That's what I was saying. That they used to bring all their good food and they couldn't wait a minute. And then the Lord's Supper was something added at the end because they wanted to eat all that food.
Sort of a side factor.
And Jesus really rebuked that, or Paul did.
Yes, Paul did. Now let's read 31, 32, and 33 together. In fact, 34 says the last verse. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Verse 32. For when we are judged in the creation of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry not for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, This he come not together, the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. All right, and verse number 31. What does this mean if we would judge ourselves? Any hands on that? If we would get 10?
That's by examination.
All right.
Examine ourselves.
Examine ourselves. And what does the word judge mean? Judgment. Is it always good? Is it always bad?
Yes, sir. Good, we judge all the time, we judge.
What does exactly judge mean? Any hands on that? Bill's laughing. Hey, go ahead, Bill.
I like it when we used to discuss.
Any hands on that?
No, I don't have any.
There's things orderly in it. And if three people want to talk, one at a time, see? Any hands on that? What does it mean to judge? What does a judge do in the court? Get a question out.
He goes back to self-examination.
All right.
Self-judgment.
Self-judgment. And if we see something wrong, we should correct it. That's the thing. We judge and we determine what have been done wrong, what have they thought wrong, what have they said wrong. Judge ourselves. In other words, that's what we should do. We shouldn't be judging other people. The Lord takes care of other people to judge them, but if we don't judge ourselves, how are we going to be fit to judge anybody? If we do judge ourselves, what is true in verse 31? Any hands on that? That's 10.
We won't be judged, referring back to the examination, during examination, in verse 29.
Verse 29. We won't be judged.
We won't be judged. So we are going to be weak and sickly and sleeping because of the
desires of self-examination. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Or question or just say hello.
Okay, that's right.
And then in verse 32, what happens when we, who's the we referred to, by the way? We. Verse 32. Hands on it? Yeah, 10.
Well, in context, it's referring to the Corinthian believers and also the Apostle Paul, but it can apply to the church today.
Well, any kind of church?
The true Bible believing born again church.
Okay.
That's the church.
That's right. And believers are in that church, that local church, right? So those are genuinely saved, genuine Christians. When we are judged, what happens when the Lord takes judgment and puts a judgment upon? What some of the things that might happen in verse 32? Very important things. Any hands on that? Any hands on that? The best of that?
Hey, Miss Weber just called. She says she's tuned in here. She says she's watching us too.
Oh, good.
Hi.
Let's wave to Mrs. Weber. Thank you very much.
Mrs.
Mrs. Weber. Cass Weber.
Oh, hi, Cass.
Yeah. So, in other words, that's good. I'm not sure. Is that equipment? Can she see in there or just here? You know,
she can see the board.
You're both in here. Okay, good. Let's wave it, Miss Weber. Let's wave. Let's see if she can see us wave. Okay, Cass, there we are. Wave. Over one wait. Okay.
Well, no.
Your hand, go ahead.
You know, the one that called and had the little girl, I think he set her stuff up so she can see things.
Yes, that's right.
That's
Sam, right. Sam, I think. Yes, yeah. Sam. Thank you, Sam, for doing that. So if she pushes the right button, she can see us. I'm glad that she called.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. If we would judge ourselves, that would be judgment. But when we are judged, what's the significance of verse 32? Any hands on that? What happens when God judges genuine Christians? Hands up, 10, yes.
We're chastened of the Lord so that we're not going to be condemned to the world, but we're going to be corrected.
What does it mean, chastened? And he hands on that. What does the word chastening mean?
It's a correction.
Correction. That's
discipline. Discipline. Correction, discipline, the same.
All right.
Some more close
things. Well, the ultimate objective is for correction.
For correction, that's right.
So it's not to put somebody down or hurt somebody, but it's so that they will do the right thing and go the right way.
Is chastened by the Lord always happy or always sad or difficult?
Not always.
Any hands on that, Bob?
No,
yeah,
I don't have
The Hebrews chapter 12 and no chastening is
to the present.
Present is not loving life by that.
In Hebrews.
There's verse 7 and 8, right?
And now in verse 11, now not Shay's name, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hmm.
So when God sees that genuine Christians are doing what's wrong, and they refuse to correct themselves, and God has to chasten them, what should the attitude be of a Christian, genuine Christian being chastened by God? What should his, her attitude be, Tim?
Be thankful that he loves us enough to correct us.
What is God's purpose in chastening us when we go astray? What's his purpose and what's his goal? Any hands on that? What's his purpose or what's his goal on chastening genuine Christian? Question that?
Bring us back where we need to be.
Back where we need to be.
Correction.
Correction. Now, as far as children are concerned, do all of our children, boys or girls that we have, always, always do things that are right? No.
And sorry, Anna, no.
What did you say?
Sorry, Anna, no. So if they do things that are wrong, what must mom and dad do according to the book of Proverbs and the New Testament? So what should mom and dad do if the child is doing something wrong?
Well, if they're over
18. I mean, you've got to throw it in the home.
Okay.
In the home.
You need to correct it.
That's correct. Is that correcting always pleasant?
No.
No. And spanking sometimes is the way to. I remember when they used to chase with some of our boys, we had three boys and four boys and a girl, and before Dan was even born, our three sons, every 2 years apart, Don, Dave, and Dick. I remember one time I spanked Dick, and Dick was crying, spanking the little boy. And I said, why does God, why does your father spank
Daddy,
you?
Dad,
why did Daddy spank you? What did he say? Remember?
He loves me.
Because he loves me. That's why I tell him. I correct you because I love you. And that's hard. Well, that's hard to understand on top of being corrected, but and God,
he loves me.
That's right, because he's crying, the poor little boy. But that's
he's
why,
such a good little boy.
Yes, he was a dear little boy. But that's why God corrects us when we need correction. To make us cry and strengthen us and make us strong men and women for Christ. And because he loves us. He does not. But you see, if he doesn't correct us, we go way, way off base and we'd be out of the world now. So correction is very important.
I think he said because he loves me.
Because he loves me. You know, he's a little baby. So he's about 3 years old, so about three, four, something like that, real time. I see his face now. We used to have a picture of him, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's a
picture. We don't have a picture
anymore. Oh, no, we have a picture somewhere. somewhere. Chasten the Lord that what? In verse number 32. Chasten because of what? Any hands on that? Chasten because of what?
What do you want us to say
now? Why were we chastened according to verse 32? Yeah, Tammy.
So that we would not be condemned
with
the world.
Not be condemned with the world. See, when the world especially sees genuine Christians going astray, they say, look at that. He's supposed to do this and that. Look at that. They really condemn and judge us, but God shaped us up so we won't be condemned with the world. We're going to stop right here, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Verse 32. If not, let's close. Word of prayer. Dear Father, we do thank thee for the words that thou hast given us. We don't always understand every word. We ask thee, Lord, to help us and guide us. Thank thee for these who have called and given their questions and comments. We appreciate that. Part of our Bible study. We thank you, Lord, we can look at these verses and we ask thee, Lord, if we do not correct ourselves, please correct us. We may be straight and strong. No matter what that, how that hurts us and how we wonder, why did God do that to me? That we don't believe the condemned of this wicked world. When they see genuine Christians going astray, they say, they point the finger, say, ah, these guys are Christians. Look at him, look at her. So keep us in thy will. We pray, bring us back again on the Lord's day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.